Hebrews chapter 7, if you would stand with me one more time, if you're able. I'll begin reading in verse 5. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Don't worry, I'm not preaching on tithing tonight, okay? I don't want to lose you before I even get started, okay? For he was yet in the loins, verse 10, he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your word. Again, thank you, Father, for this church and this time together, Lord. Thank you for each one that's here this afternoon. Please, God, help me. I pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I yield myself to thee completely, Lord, I pray. Help me be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to, of course, continue on with the series that we're in Hebrews here, speaking on Jesus is better. And I want to talk to you tonight about this thought. Jesus is better than the priests. Jesus is better than the priests. And in our last study of Hebrews, we talked about Melchizedek, and you may remember that. That was entirely, 2 weeks ago? That was a long time. But Melchizedek, we talked about, of course, he was a priest, the Bible calls him, in Genesis chapter 14. The very first mention of the word priest in the Bible is referring to Melchizedek as a priest of the Most High God. So what we're going to do, and we talked about Jesus being better than Melchizedek, but now we're going to pick up where we left off there and look at why Jesus is far superior to all the priests in the Old Testament. In the book of Hebrews, there are 34 different verses that refer or mention the word priest or high priest. 34 different verses in these short 13 chapters. So therefore, priests are a big part of what's going on here in the book of Hebrews. Obviously, there's something going on here with the priests and with Jesus and the Jewish congregation there. So let me just talk about the priest for a minute tonight. The word priest itself comes from the word elder. Our English word elder is translated priest through the Greek and that kind of thing. And of course, the word elder means mature or older. The concept of priesthood in religion is really just a simple matter of a sinful man knowing that he needs help to approach his God. Okay? In other words, a man understanding, I need a mediator.
Right.
Between me and my God. It comes from the consciousness of sin in a man's heart that makes him realize that he's incapable of approaching a more powerful being.
Right.
Someone who's so much higher than he is. A God, in other words, who is not pleased with him, a God who is fully able to destroy him, causes a man to realize, I cannot approach this God on my own.
Yeah.
Now, it's sad that in America, this is not even close to the mentality of most people.
That's right, brother.
I think about Egypt's friend and the guy I met today and all of that. But really, the word priest began with even in the most remote indigenous tribal villages of Africa, they have priests.
Right.
Now, most of them are witch doctors, but still, they have some sort of representative that they understand, and they don't even have a clue who God is, but they have their God. They have their gods. And of course, the word I'm using is in a very general sense, but the concept of priesthood is true for pagan religions all over the world still today. And even Judaism, of course, back in the day of Hebrews. Many religions, of course, the most common today is Catholicism. They still have priests. Many priests. Many priests. Anglicans still have priests. Episcopalians still have priests. Lutherans still have priests. Many Eastern religions, such as Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, Shintoism, they have human priests and priestesses. Amen. Very, like I said earlier, all kinds of indigenous jungle tribes in different countries, they have priests within their tribal groups. And get this, LDS, the Church of Latter-day Saints, Jesus Christ, they call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Mormons, they will ordain anyone over the age, any male over the age of 12, to the priesthood. And you'll see them walk around with their little badges, and they say, Elder so-and-so, Elder so-and-so. But that boy has been ordained by the LDS Church to be a priest. So what I'm trying to say is this. We have the priesthood goes way back, way before the Levitical priesthood even, before God ever ordained the office of priest from the tribe of Levi, the representative head of the family was the priest. You remember Abraham? There were no priests yet. You remember Job? There were no priests yet. What did Job do? He offered up sacrifices for his family every day because there was no priest yet. But so he was the head of the family. And so as believers in Christ, so let me say to you tonight, we have no need for priests. Okay? We as believers in Christ have no need for priests. The leaders in our churches, such as myself, are pastors. Okay? We are shepherds under the chief shepherd. Under shepherds, if you will. The chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the flock of God. Amen? We are pastors. Pastors are not mediators. I am not your mediator. I am not an intercessor for you. Each believer, if you've been born again, you've been made a member of the royal priesthood in Christ Jesus, okay? Now keep your finger here in Hebrews, and let's turn over to 1 Peter real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me show you 1 Peter chapter 5, and then we'll get back to 1 Peter 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 first. The elders, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, speaking Peter of course, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Okay, he's talking to the pastors, the elders, the bishops, not priests. How do I know? Because look what the elders in a New Testament church's responsibility in verse 2. Feed the flock of God.
Yeah.
Okay? My job is not to intercede for you. I pray for you. I do that. But my job as a pastor, as an elder, as a bishop, is not to be a priest or a mediator. It's to feed the flock of God.
Right.
You see, I'm here today as an under-shepherd, under my shepherd, Jesus Christ, to feed you as the flock of God. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Notice verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but in samples or examples to the flock. Now, priests, listen, priesthood in other religions, they are the Lord over the congregation.
Right. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But God says, no, that's not what it's about in the New Testament church, okay? It's not about me lording over you and telling you what to do and keeping you under my thumb. It's about me feeding you. It's about me leading by example. It's about me loving you. It's about just, the oversight simply means I'm just watching over the flock as a pastor would to watch out for wolves. Okay? But it has nothing to do with the priesthood. It's look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. They're speaking to believers, amen? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. So he's not talking to Jews. He's talking to Gentile believers, you and me. In time past, we were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. See, when you got saved, amen, you became your own priest.
Amen.
Okay? You became a member of the royal priesthood. So we can enter into the presence of a holy God now through our high priest, Jesus Christ. We do not have to have a mediator anymore as far as humanly speaking in this world as a priest. Look over in Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, amen, thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God, we're talking about Jesus, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That is all the world that is saved. Amen. And look, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests.
Amen.
There it is. Kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Listen, that's still to come in the kingdom. But the kings and the priests, those of us who have been born again, we are made, God has made us unto Him kings and priests.
Yep. Yep.
Okay? So there's going to be a lot of things going on during the millennial reign, the kingdom of Christ, that you and me aren't familiar with. Okay? But we're going to rule and reign with Him as kings and priests. So, but what I'm saying to you is this. We don't have to worry. We don't need a priest anymore.
Right.
God has made us priests through Jesus Christ. Now, what's going on? Go back to Hebrews chapter 7, if you would. What's going on there in Hebrews chapter 7? This is kind of a recap, a review. But what's going on here in the book of Hebrews is this. Look in verse 11 of chapter 7. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? What's happening here is the Jews who have been saved are being tempted. They're being told to return to their worship and service of Jehovah through the offices of the Levitical priesthood.
Yeah, that's right.
They're being told that perfection can only be achieved through the law, and the law has placed a priest over you. Okay? They're being told that lie. Look in chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. They were being told, listen, the covenant that God made with us in the Old Testament, which is under the law, which is provided for priesthood through the tribe of Levi, they were being told that that covenant is faultless. Okay? They're still, listen to me, they're still believing that today in Israel.
Yeah.
They still do not understand this New Testament. That matter of fact, they do not read this New Testament. They do not believe this New Testament because this New Testament changes everything.
That's right.
Listen, especially the priesthood.
That's right.
Okay? They were told the Levitical priesthood did not need improvement. They were being lied to, obviously, by their peers. Now listen, to confess Christ, for these Jews, to confess Christ and stay faithful meant a tremendous sacrifice.
Yeah.
Man. Are you following me just yet? A tremendous sacrifice. They had to break ties with all the people who really truly believed that they were right.
Yep. Come on.
And the Christians were wrong. They had to sever ties many times with their family and their friends because they were still in the false religion under the priesthood.
Yeah, come on.
Does it sound familiar yet?
Come on.
They were now identified as Christians with Jesus Christ as their high priest. They're now identified with Christians, but their Jewish brethren were the ones that hung Christ on the cross. The priest, the high priest in the offices of the scribes and the Pharisees were the ones that hung him.
Yeah.
And called him a blasphemous heretic.
Come on,
and so now, of course, it stands to reason that a Jewish boy, a Jewish girl, a Jewish young man or lady, has trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit has convicted their heart, they know they're a sinner, they know that all of that Levitical priesthood was doing nothing for them, and they knew they needed Jesus, so they fall on their face, they trust Christ for salvation, but the very next day, here comes a knock on the door.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're not going to temple?
Come on.
Don't you know the priests are down there offering up sacrifices for us? What do you mean you're not going with us?
Come on, preacher.
Yeah, come on.
What do you mean? What do you mean? And so here's what they're in a place where they have to make a decision. Here's what they're thinking. I know what I'll do. I'll compromise.
Yeah, come on.
I'll be saved. Because I know Jesus said, I can't lose that. Eternal life, everlasting life. Even a numbskull can understand that everlasting lasts forever.
Amen.
But yet, man, I all of my friends,
come on.
All of my family, all of my priests,
come on, preach,
are pulling on me, tugging on me. I know what I'll do. I'll put one foot over here with them. I'll put another foot over here with Jesus, and I'll ride the fence for the rest of my life. I'll compromise.
Come on, preach.
I'll walk down the middle of the road. And this whole book of Hebrews is condemning compromise.
That's right.
Why, preacher? Because for one thing, they're never going to grow.
That's right.
In Christ. You're never going to grow until you decide Jesus is better.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
They're never going to grow. They're never going to, remember, go on unto perfection. Remember chapter 6, verse 1 said, let us go on. I mean, they were stalled out. By the way, have you ever noticed you can't get very far riding a fence?
Amen.
You don't go anywhere.
That's right.
But you look good. Hey, no, you don't really. You don't even look good. But they're not. They also had no joy.
Right.
They're never making progress in their Christian life. They had no joy. They were ruining the testimony of Jesus.
Yeah.
Look in chapter 11, Hebrews 11. I'm hurrying here. Hebrews chapter 11. Look in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. See, what's going on here is the priests are saying, hey, Cain was fine. But Jesus is saying, hey, no, Abel was right.
Yeah.
And so these guys are trying to do both. They're trying to, Jesus, yes, but this Cain's not so bad. We can keep on doing our works. Remember the difference between Cain's sacrifice and Abel's sacrifice, don't you? Cain brought what he could do. Cain brought what he wanted to bring. Abel brought what God said to bring. Abel brought to shed some blood, and Cain, all he did was cut down some apples and tomatoes. But what I'm saying to you, listen, but look in verse 4. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained, what does that say?
Witness
that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts.
Man.
Folks, listen to me. God came down to Cain and Abel and said, Cain, what's wrong with you? Why are you so mad? I'm paraphrasing, of course. And Cain pouting, you know, just getting all upset. Because God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he rejected Cain's.
Yep.
And Cain was all huffy puffy. And God said, what's the matter, Cain? That's how I know he was a Baptist. God said, you know, if you would just do right, you'd be okay.
That's right.
I mean, I know I'm paraphrasing, but look at it. It's in Genesis chapter 5, 4, 5. He said, if you would just do right, you'd be okay.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Now, all Cain had to do was what God said.
Right.
Amen. That's right.
Wouldn't it be great if life, Christian life, was that simple? It is.
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
All Cain had to do was say, "You're right, Lord," and go sacrifice a lamb and bring it to God as an offering. But instead, he said, "No, no, 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 no." Instead, I think I'm going to kill Abel and prove to you that I'm right, God. That doesn't work.
That's right.
Okay, but look, who did God testify? Who did God give witness that he was right? Abel.
Amen.
Look at verse 5. Verse 5, he was by faith Enoch was translated. He should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Why? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, look up here for a second. What I'm trying to say to you is the reason that's in there is because these Hebrew Christians, these Jewish Christians, were ruining the testimony of Jesus.
That's right.
Why? Because they were too busy trying to compromise with the world and Jesus and keeping everybody happy. I don't know if you've noticed that, but you can't do that. You can't. I can't do that, and neither can you. You can't make everybody happy. You saw some missionaries standing up here before you over the last week, and everybody had a great time. But understand something. What you saw here were people who had decided, I'm not worried about making everybody happy. I'm going to follow Jesus and do what he tells me to do.
Amen. Try it.
And you were shouting and happy and hallelujah, and we need to. But understand something. That could be you too.
That's right.
And you don't have to be a missionary to do that.
That's right, brother.
Amen. You just have to decide Jesus is better.
Yeah.
But listen, these Hebrews, these Jewish, they were Christians. They were saved, just as saved as you are. But they were ruining the testimony. See, Paul told Timothy, he said, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He told Timothy, keep thyself pure.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're ruining, you're disgracing Jesus' name.
That's right, amen.
And understand something, I hate to tell you this, but he's keeping records. Yeah. And when we disgrace his name, this is, what I do in private, nobody knows. No, you may do that for a while, but it's going to come out. Jesus even said, that which is spoken in secret is going to be shouted from the housetop sooner or later.
Yep,
what I'm saying to you, look, we need to be more concerned about Jesus' name and his testimony than our little comfort zone, and understand Jesus is better. But boy, the priests were the ones that hung Jesus on the cross.
That's right.
And so now they're putting a lot of pressure on these Jews. Listen, you just need to just stop being so ate up. You still can come to temple, but they had to give that up. Many times they were identified, like I said, and they wanted to compromise, ruining the testimony, and notice, losing rewards.
Yep.
The judgment seat of Christ. Now, I know most people don't even care about that, but listen, you're going to regret that one day if you don't care about that today.
That's right.
This book of Hebrews, listen, is a motivation for them to go on unto perfection. This book of Hebrews should be motivation for us to understand that Jesus is better than anything and everything. But listen, especially the false religion that God brought us out of.
Amen.
Because that is the number one thing that gets people. Their families, they start saying, well, why? What's the big deal? We go to church.
Amen. Come on,
preach. I mean, come on. Oh, so you got saved. So what? Come on. We go to church. And see, we have to make a decision. And I'm hurrying. I don't have time to preach all of this. We got to make a decision. Understand, look, testimony before God. God's going to give witness of our testimony and our life and what we choose. God's going to be the one who gives witness of it one day. We're going to answer to Him. This book of Hebrews is motivating the Jews, and it should be motivating us. Jesus is better. But listen, they had no more worship in the temple. They couldn't do that anymore. And they were raised like that.
Yeah.
They had no more sacrifices of animals. They were raised like that. Now look, that doesn't mean a thing to me.
Amen.
But the point is the principle is the same, is that whatever it is that you were raised in, when you got saved, that's what the devil is going to use to draw you back. To keep pushing and pulling and pricking and poking and prodding and tempting you. Listen, you can still do, even if you weren't raised in church. I mean, you were raised a hippie. You were raised a drunk. You were raised a drug addict. The devil's going to say, you know what, you can still be saved and just keep on living like that.
Right.
What's the big deal? There is a big deal.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
It's a big deal, folks.
That's right.
And that's what this whole book is about. But the pressure was intense, and it is. Satan doesn't play fair.
Right. Oh, sure.
Have you noticed that yet?
Amen.
All of their religious family and friends were still participating in the same old ritualistic religious thing, just going through the motions like they always did. And all of a sudden, somebody over here gets, woo, saved, saved, saved. And they're walking around the square. And they're singing, they're holding scripture signs, and they're handing out tracts. Whoa, who in the world? You're not going to believe who that is.
Go on.
I'm going to tell everybody. But listen, that's what happens, right? Then all of a sudden the phones start ringing, the emails start coming, the texts start flying in. People are saying, is this true what I heard?
Come on. Freak.
And the pressure was intense.
Yeah.
And by the way, let me remind you, these Jewish Christians were not the majority. They were the minority compared to the Judaism that was still in Israel, even at this time. Chapter 7, 8, and 9 of the book of Hebrews, and part of 10, are really in the book of Hebrews for one reason, to prove that Jesus is far superior to all the shadows. Look in chapter 8, verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. The Old Testament is just a shadow of Jesus. The New Testament is the revelation of the real thing, if you will. Chapter 8, verse 5. Now, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. There's referring to the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a shadow of the heavenly tabernacle. You know that there's an Ark of the Covenant in heaven?
Man, that's right.
There's a mercy seat in heaven. Hey, listen, the blood of Jesus is on that mercy seat right now.
That's right.
In heaven.
Amen.
But see, all of that in the wilderness back there with the tabernacle and the temple, they were all shadows.
Right.
It helped you see the shape and the figure of it. And then Jesus came along and he is the manifestation of it all.
Yeah.
But see, it's hard for people to, it was hard for these Jews to understand. No, that wasn't a shadow. That was my life. That wasn't a shadow. That was everything to me. That was my mom and my grandma and my papa. That was my whole family tradition. I mean, good night. We all pray to holy death.
Come on, preach.
Yep, come on.
And that boy rejected Christ today because of holy death. You see what I'm saying? But it ain't just holy death that people are rejecting Christ for today.
That's right.
And see, let me tell you something. Just as sure as I'm standing here, some of these gave in.
That's right.
Some of these Jewish believers gave in.
Yep.
How do I know? Because they're still giving in.
Yep. That's right.
Every day.
Yep.
People who know that Jesus is better, but yet they still give in to the pressure.
Yeah.
And none of us are exempt from that.
That's right.
Every one of us is being pulled at. Listen, don't lie to me. You don't have to raise your hand. But every one of you right now is being pulled at by something or somebody in this world to give up. You are too ate up. It's too fanatical. It's too much.
Come on, preach.
But see, that's why we have to stay in the Bible.
Yeah.
Because the Bible is our source of strength and motivation, reminding us, listen, Jesus is better.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, has it dawned on you that it does not matter what you believe?
Yeah.
Amen.
If it's not true, it's not true.
Yeah.
That's right.
I told that. He said, well, I just believe in holy death. I said, why do you believe in it? I just believe in it. I said, well, what is it? Well, it's just my parents and my grandparents. And I said, well, but I just believe in it. Now, look. Go out there on Interstate 35, Karina, and just believe with all your heart that you're not going to get hit by a tractor trailer.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you believe. If it's false, it's false.
Yeah, man.
But do you understand how wicked and evil and deceptive the devil is? But see, he's using these Jews, and I promise you, a lot of them gave up.
Yep, come on. Right, sir.
They gave up.
Yes, sir.
I mean, come on. Their whole family? Their whole family? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Their whole family? I mean, you can be so fired up right here in the middle of church. I mean, the Holy Spirit, just like this past conference, I mean, the singing and the shouting and the praising and the preaching and the fellowship and the... Oh boy, what a blessing. I'm just full of the Holy Spirit. I'm just weeping with joy. And then it all comes Monday morning.
Amen. Come on, breathe.
And Satan knows what buttons to push. He knows which family members to start running their mouth.
Oh, great.
It's nothing new, guys.
That's right.
It's nothing new. But I promise you, listen, I promise you, Jesus is better.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, you're going to be in trouble.
That's right.
I want to look at quickly how is Jesus better than these priests? These priests are all over the book of Hebrews. Number one, the priests, all priests, today and every day, were all sinners too. Look at chapter 5, quickly. Hebrews 5, I'm hurrying. Verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself, the high priest, also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also, notice, for himself to offer for sins. See, the high priest even, all the priests were human beings. The high priest was, there was only one high priest at any given time. It was Aaron. There's one high priest. He was the only one that could go into that most holy place. You see, the tabernacle, the temple, was there was an outer court. And then there was the actual tabernacle there, the tent. And you walked into the front door, if you will. That was the holy place. The showbread, the candlestick, the altar of incense. Then there was a veil, a very thick veil, between the holy place and the most holy place.
Yep.
And the most holy place was where the Ark of the Covenant was, wherein was the Aaron's rod that budded, the manna, and the tablets, the Ten Commandments, the law. And on top of that was the mercy seat. Amen. And that high priest, once a year, he alone could go into behind that veil and place the blood on the mercy seat. Once a year. And if he, listen, if he wasn't right, he fell over dead. They had bells and pomegranates around the bottom of their garments, so you could hear them when they fell over dead. And they tied ropes to their ankles, because they weren't going to go in there, because then you're just going to have a whole pile of bodies. They tied a rope, and when they heard the bell go, when they heard the bells fall over dead, they realized, we better pull him out and bury him. So here's what they did. They were offering for their own sins too. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5. The high priest was the, remember, he was the elder. He was the high priest. He was the one that was the most mature. He was the one that God had anointed.
Yeah.
But he was still a sinner.
That's right.
And every church, every religion, including Judaism, at all times, and that's what the Bible's trying to make us see, is they were all sinners. Look in chapter 7, though, verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, or in other words, sin. But the word of the oath, God's word, Amen. The New Testament, which was since the law, maketh the Son, look at that, capital S, who is consecrated forevermore. Jesus, in other words, had no infirmities, amen. Jesus, without sin, without spot, without blemish. The law made sinners high priests. Remember, just a shadow. Just a shadow of the real thing. But when Jesus came along, it was a... boom, it was the real thing. The sinless one, the capital S-S-O-N, amen, consecrated, notice, forevermore, because he is the high priest. Okay, so all priests were sinners. Number two, not just that, but since the priests were sinners, they eventually died.
Yeah, right.
The wages of sin is death. Look at chapter 7, verse 8. Chapter 7, verse 8. And here men that die receive tithes. See, the Levites and the priests received the tithes into the storehouse. And that still comes from God. Here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them. Who's he? Jesus. Of whom it is witnessed that he what?
Liveth.
Okay, so there's another proof, by the way, folks, that tithing is still New Testament. Okay, but anyway, I'm not preaching on money tonight. I don't want to lose you there. But look, the wages of sin is still death. They could never complete the ministry. But when Jesus in John 19 verse 30 said, Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, what did he say, church? It is finished. He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. The final sacrifice was finished. And you know something? He didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead. Look in chapter 16, chapter 7, verse 16. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment. See, the law is a carnal commandment. Sinners, carnal, but after the power of a what? An endless life, consecrated forevermore. Look in verse 17. For he testifieth, God testifieth, thou art a priest. What's those next two words? How long? Forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Look in chapter 7, verse 21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest. How long? Forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testimony. And they truly were many priests. Many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They died.
Right.
When I die, folks, if Jesus doesn't come back and take us to heaven, and I die, you're going to have to find another pastor. Okay? You see how that works? When the priest died, they had to find another priest. But this priest, this Jesus Christ, amen, this high priest, had no problem with that. This man, look in verse 24. This man, because he continueth, how long? Ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, hallelujah, that come unto God by him, seeing he what? Ever liveth to make intercession for them. You understand something? Jesus is alive forevermore. The high priest's office is already, the final sacrifice is finished, and now Jesus, the high priest, is ascended up on high. Look in chapter 8, verse 1. Now the things which we have spoken of, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Now think of it. Remember the high priest went into that most holy place once a year and not without blood. And he went in there, put that blood on the mercy seat, and then he got out. Because he's a sinner, and that was the Shekinah glory of God. He got out as fast as he could, because if he had a bad thought, Josh. But now Jesus is in the presence of God.
Amen.
Seated.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? He's not worried about sinning. He's not worried about dying. He is there. Not only is he in the presence of God, he's seated at the right hand of the majesty. He's right at home.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's my Jesus.
Amen.
He's right at home. He's so much better than the priest. Understand something.
Yeah.
He's seated, amen, on the right hand of the throne, the majesty in the heavens. Glory to God.
Amen.
See, the priests were all sinners.
Right.
And because they were sinners, they eventually died. But this is the best part. Even when they were alive, their sacrifices could never reconcile me to to a holy God.
Right.
Even when they were alive. Even when they did place that blood on the mercy seat. Look in chapter 7, verse 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. See, it was weak and unprofitable. For the law made nothing perfect. That blood of those animals could not do anything to make those sinners sinless. But the bringing in of a better hope did. By the which, notice verse 19, this is good. By the which we draw nigh unto God.
Yeah.
Understand something. The purpose of salvation, folks, is not just to go to heaven.
Right.
It's not even for us as much as it is for God's glory, for God, so that He can have us in His presence.
Yes.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Come on, free.
The purpose of salvation was to once again allow us to draw nigh to God on our own. We don't need a high priest, as I mentioned. We have Jesus in us. Christ has already died for us. And now the Bible says, if any man be what? In Christ. He's a new creature. He's able to go right boldly into the throne of God. Amen. I can go sit down. I can go to my knees in prayer and enter into the throne room of God. Jesus has made a way. Well, there's so much more. I'm trying to hurry here. But the Bible tells us that Jesus did all this to bring us nigh unto God. It's not so you could just go to heaven and get yourself whatever you want to get in heaven. The Bible says He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The priestly sacrifices could never do this. Look in verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. Notice, for this he did once, hallelujah, when he offered up himself. Are you looking at that? Jesus offered himself. They could never do that, and even if they did, it wouldn't have done any good.
Right.
Amen? Look in chapter 9, verse 6. Quickly, I'm just jumping around a little bit. Chapter 9, verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, here it is, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The priest had to go in year after year after year after year after year. Look in verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but notice, by His own blood, glory to God, He entered in once into that holy place, having obtained how much? Eternal. Amen. Eternal redemption for us. Their blood can never do that. Look in chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God, for are you listening to what God's telling us? Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, amen, but now, glory to God, but now, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. One time he hath appeared, he's not dying again, folks, amen. He's not pouring his blood out anymore. He's never going to die. Listen, that one sacrifice is enough. That one blood, one drop of that blood is all it took, amen. You and me now have eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. Look in chapter 10, verse 1. The law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Listen, when God looks at you and me, He sees the perfect righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
Are you understand that? There's no blemish. Yeah. There's no spot. The standard of God's salvation is perfection.
Amen.
And no priest could ever do that.
Right.
But in Christ Jesus, we have been made sinlessly perfect in Him. Not in our nature, not in our flesh, but when Christ looks at me, God looks at me in Christ, He sees the righteousness of God imputed unto me. And that's the only reason I'm going to be in heaven. Look at verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. It is not possible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Listen, one sacrifice for sins forever, that all the priestly sacrifices ever did was make people remember their sins.
Yep.
The blood of Jesus took it away.
Right.
Took them away forever.
Amen.
One sacrifice, look in verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Amen.
I'm telling you, listen, once for all. One sacrifice for all sins, for all mankind, for all time.
Amen.
Once for all.
Amen.
And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, verse 12, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Listen, do you see a trend here? Do you see a pattern here? God is trying to make a point. Listen, if you were paying attention, which some of you hopefully are, you may have noticed something. In order for us to be saved, our sins had to be atoned for by the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Right.
Away with those heretics who say the blood was not required. Away with them. Away with that fault. Are you trying to tell me that you can earn that on your own? Dearly beloved, listen to what God says. It's the blood and only the blood and no other way.
Yeah.
Glory to God. But that precious blood of Jesus, once for all time, for all men, for all sins, forever, that's the beautiful thing. It's all in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus is better than the priests. The priests were all sinners.
Amen.
The priests died. And they, by the way, they stayed dead.
Right.
Their sacrifice could never reconcile us unto God. Praise God, however, Jesus Christ, the sinless sacrifice, once for all sins, once for all mankind, once for all the world, Jesus is so much better.
Amen. That's right.
And now I'll go back to the introduction and I'm done. Why then? And so many people quit on him. Because they did. You know, I've never been over there, but when you go over to Israel, there's still some Colosseums, Roman Colosseums, over in that area, where the Christians were martyred, thrown in there and eaten alive by lions. And there's still, when you look on some of the foundation, the rocks around the bottom of those Colosseums, there's still blood stains over there. You know why? Because of the people who said, Jesus is better.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus is better.
Amen.
I wonder how many said, oh no. Not me. I'm not in for this, and they walked out. I just want, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. But for some reason, God is teaching and preaching through the book of Hebrews. We've got to believe something. We've got to believe it for now, forever.
Yep.
No matter who says what.
Amen.
Our closest family member.
Amen.
That's, you know, that's all they're trying to do, folks, is they're trying to convince you that whatever they got or whatever they're serving is better.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Now you tell me one thing better than Jesus. You can't find it. You're not going to find it.
Amen.
During the Russian communist days, there were churches behind the Iron Curtain having church. And one of the back doors busted open. Two Russian machine gun, military, well, they rushed into the congregation and they said, I'm going to give everybody in this church one opportunity to recant their faith in Christ. You either reject, refuse Jesus Christ, or you die. They had two machine guns. There was nothing they could do. They were trapped in the building. No way out. For about 30 seconds, it was dead still. Kind of like it is now. And then, sure enough, over here, back there, over here, people began standing up. Said, I recant. I turn back on Jesus. I don't shoot me. They said, okay, if you've recanted your faith and turned your back on Jesus, you're free to leave. And so sure enough, those people, and then of course several other people stood up and followed them out the door. So the two machine gun, the two soldiers walked to the back door, locked the back door, shut it, locked it, came up to the preacher and said, preacher, they laid down their guns. They said, preacher, we're believers too.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We just didn't want to have a bunch of false believers in our church service.
Amen.
Let's sing.
Amen.
Let's worship.
Amen.
That's a true story. Now, is America ever going to come to that? I don't know. But it doesn't have to be a machine gun.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Most of the time, it's just Facebook. I mean, it doesn't even take a machine gun for a bunch of Baptists.
Amen.
Somebody says something on Facebook, and you go, oh, well, yeah, you're right.
Come on, preach it.
I guess you're right.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes those believers, and during those days of communist Russia, they prayed for persecution because they knew persecution was going to make them stronger. And they knew persecution was going to weed out the tares from the wheat.
Yeah.
So they could have real church. Listen, I'm not praying for that. I'll admit it, I'm not praying for that. But it doesn't even take that anymore.
That's right.
I mean, dear Sister Sabrina, you know, her own daughter.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where it comes from now. It comes from our families.
Yeah.
Our own families who say, you're just a bunch of crazy people down there. Well, really? And by whose definition? I guess you're carousing and boozing and cussing and swearing and Hollywood living, that's normal? That's okay? Last time I read that Bible, it said, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
So who's right?
Amen.
Listen, I don't know what's going to happen. But Jesus is better. Jesus is better. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, that includes the square up there, doesn't it?
Right.
I think it does. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the world.
Amen.
The pressure was intense. And I know it is on all of you. But you're here tonight because you understand something.
Man.
Jesus is better. You saw some missionaries this week, last week, who helped remind you, hey, Jesus is better.
Amen.
Did you hear any of their stories?
Amen.
Brother East was telling us that Sunday night that his dad won't even talk to him. His dad was Catholic, then he got saved, then he got offended, and now he's back in the Catholic Church. And he makes fun of the Easts for preaching. And I can't remember all the Paulicians or something. They her mom or dad or something like that. They don't even talk to them. I'm telling you, folks, that's all the devil's got to do is get somebody in your family to start running their mouth. And all they're trying to do is convince you that whatever they think is better than Jesus. But if you'll just stay in that Bible and keep your heart and your mind renewed in that book, you'll know, and it'll just, it's got to be a daily thing, a daily walk with the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is better. And no matter what happens in this life, I understand that Jesus is better. The priests were very powerful. I mean, they were influential enough to have Jesus crucified.
Yep.
I'm just saying to you tonight, look, Jesus is better.
Right. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Everybody that's running their mouth and trying to persuade you that you're crazy, they're sinners.
Yep.
Have you noticed that? They're sinners. Oh, I am too, preacher. I know you are. But Jesus is sinless.
Amen.
And so if I'm going to follow somebody, I think, you know, it's just a no-brainer to me.
Amen.
By the way, have you noticed they haven't died for you yet? He did.
Amen.
He shed his last drop of blood. When they pierced him with that spear in his side, you understand, water came out. You know why? All the blood was gone.
That's right.
I know I'm preaching too long tonight. Y'all bear with me. I got to preach in a long time. Brother Horton. Anyway. But I'm just saying. I'm saying, look. If we just stop.
Yeah.
And just reason for a second and realize there's no comparison.
That's right. Amazing.
There's no comparison. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for Jesus. We need you to keep working in our hearts. We want our loved ones to get saved.